Therefore, Bhagavatah devotees, yuyam, all of you, riyaha, very dear to me, stop, you are Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yata, as, na, neither, mat, than me. Bhagavatanam of the devotees. Cha, also. Prayan, very dear. Anyaha, others. Asti, there is. Karhichit, at any time. Translation, you are all devotees of the Lord, and as such I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. So you can repeat. You are all devotees of the Lord.
You are all devotees of the Lord.
And as such, I appreciate,
and as such I appreciate
that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself.
I know in this way,
I know in this way
that the devotees also respect me.
That the devotees also respect me.
And that I am dear to them.
And that I am dear to them.
Thus no one can be as dear,
no dear
to the devotees as I am.
To the devotees as I am.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is said, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavana, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishvara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Kachiyani or Durga as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna. And he does not request material profits. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamais, Haishthar, Pratijana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods, but a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asura worships Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Nama Aparadas that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the name of Hara, or Lord Shiva, are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worships Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Atta Bhagavata Yunyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Preyananyosti Karichet. So, Om Ganat Sivaranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Prabhupada here speaks many words in glorification of Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee and gives evidence and even says the devotees worship Lord Shiva. So this is sometimes it's been a little controversy in ISKCON when the devotees worship Lord Shiva or even they celebrate Shiva Ratri. But we find in the Krishna book that Nanda Maharaj, he celebrated Shiva Ratri. Very, very interesting. Of course, it says he did not do it, let's say, regularly. It was done sometimes and not done other times. In other words, it wasn't the same dedication that one would have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nanda Maharaj, of course, worshipped Lord Shiva. Generally, you were thinking, why would he worship Lord Shiva? He has Krishna there already. Just like Mother Yashoda, performed all these different little rituals for the protection of Krishna. Like we see, whenever Krishna defeated a demon, Yashodamayi was in complete anxiety, even before he defeated the demons, while he was up in the air with the whirlwind demon, or he was crawling on the chest of the Kutana. She was in anxiety, and she performed all these different rituals, and some of them are just like superstitious rituals, right? She would take like the tail of a cow and just brush them all over the place. Of course, we do that in deity worship, too. When they're installing the deities, they actually take like the cow, parts of the cow, like the tail, the hairs from the tail, and brush the deity when they're installing the deity. So that's for the protection of Krishna that Mother Yashoda did. So it was all completely Krishna conscious. So when we approach Lord Shiva, we should be approaching him for the pleasure of Krishna, basically. Either, protecting this Krishna consciousness movement, or helping us become more devoted to Krishna, or helping us enter, as Prabhupada mentions here, helping us enter the holy dham. Because Lord Shiva is a dikpala. That means he's the guardian of the directions in the holy dham. Normally when you hear the word dikpala, that means the guardian of the directions in the material world. The dikpalas are like Indra and Vayu and Agni. These are the guardians, the demigods. But the guardian of the holy dham is Lord Shiva. So you can't really enter into Braj until you have the blessings of Lord Shiva. It's very, very interesting. Of course, Lord Shiva appears as Sadashiva. Sadashiva, of course, is the origin of the Shiva we see in this world. And he is a Dvaitacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, as Prabhupada mentions here, Lord Shiva has different manifestations all over the holy dham. One of them is, of course, Gopishvara. Gopishvara, Ishvara, that means basically the controller of the gopis. That's actually the name of Krishna. And even the name Lord Shiva is the name of Krishna, because Shiva means auspicious. That's the name of Krishna. Do you know that? Shiva is the name of Krishna. And actually, practically all the devotees' names are names of Krishna. Some of them aren't. Like Prabhupada gave the name of one devotee, Mahamaya. I don't know if I'd want to walk around with that name. Mahamaya, the illusory. Of course, she's also Vaishnavi, so that's all right. In general, the names of the devotees are names of Krishna, or names of Krishna's great devotees. So Lord Shiva has a name of Krishna, which means auspicious one, and Krishna is the most auspicious. So as Gopishvara, He guards, specifically it's called Gopishvara, because he guards Krishna's relationship with the gopis. Not only the dikpala, the corners or the boundaries of the holy dham, but he's guarding the rasa dance. And he guards the rasa dance in a female form, as we've mentioned before. And he prevents anybody who is not qualified from entering or even seeing the rasa dance. Even Narada Muni, he tried to see the rasa dance. And Narada Muni is certainly a qualified individual. But Narada Muni had a male form, or has a male form. So the only male that's allowed, you know, basically close by the rasa dance is Krishna. Everybody else has to be female. Of course, in the material world, you have that that pastime with Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva's forest, and he's with Durga. And anybody who comes close, there's a curse that they turn into a lady. Just like a story in the Bhagavatam, there were, what was the king's name? Anyway, it starts with an I. So the king was with his horsemen and horses, and the horses, of course, were all male horses, stallions. And they entered into Lord Shiva's forest, and all of a sudden they looked down, they were all ladies. And the stallions had become mares. Mare means a female horse. So that story is there. And it was very embarrassing. Later on, they got the benediction from Lord Shiva, the king, to be a male 1 month, a female another month. And it didn't work out too well. But as a female, he had a husband. And as a male, he had a wife, you know, so just like sort of switching palaces every month or something. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that whole story. So in any case, Lord Shiva, he has a female form, and he stopped Narada Muni from entering into the rasa dance, and he said, you can't come in unless you have a female form. So the way to do that is you go to Kushima Sarovara, and you take a bath in Kushima Sarovara, and he did, and he became Naradi. And he was able to watch the rasa dance, and Krishna called him over. We told the story before, and Krishna said, Narada, what are you doing here? And he said, I want you to write the Narada Pancharatra, Narada Bhakti Sutras, at this place called Narada Kund. And Narada Muni said, I can't stay in any one place for very long because I've been cursed by Daksha. And Krishna said, that only applies to the material world, not to the spiritual realm. So Narada Muni actually resides in Vrindavan too. So not only does he have the name Gopishva, but also there's also Kundeshra, that means the controller of the Kund, Radha Kund. So when you go to Radha Kund, actually most people when they go to the holy places don't know how to properly take permission from the primary or presiding deities of the place first before you go there. You know, most people just go in and say, hey, you know, it's a vacation. But when you go to Radha Kund, the first thing you're supposed to do if you do the Radha Kund parikrama is take permission from Kundeshwara. Or if you go to just the Govardhan parikrama, you take permission from Chakaleshwara Mahadev. Chakaleshwara Mahadev is, literally it's called Chakaleshwara because that's the place where Sudarshan Chakra was that protected the residents of Vrindavan, or protected the top of Govardhan Hill when Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill, and didn't allow any of the water to actually fall on Govardhan Hill. It just fell around. So it was very hot. You know, the Sudarshan Chakra is very, very hot. So it kept all the water, you know, evaporated the water before it fell down, so it protected Govardhan Hill. So that's the center of Govardhan Hill, is around the Manasi Ganga. And there's all sorts of kunds. But of course, Manasi Ganga is the biggest kund in the Braj area. And then you have Chakaleshwara Mahadev, and Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is right there, right next to Chakaleshwara Mahadev. And Chakaleshwara Mahadev protected Sanatana Goswami from the mosquitoes, because there were so many mosquitoes there, and Sanatana Goswami was getting ready to leave. And Lord Shiva said, please stay, I will keep you from being bitten by the mosquitoes. So that's what happened there. And then also, if you're going to go around Govardhan You have to get permission from Haridev. And he's also at the Manasi Ganga area. Haridev is the deity that was self-manifested when Krishna was hiding from the gopis, and the gopis kept chanting, Haridev, Haridev, Haridev. And then all of a sudden this deity popped up. And that's the self-manifested deity. Anyway, so you have to get permission before you go to different places and holy down from presiding personalities in these different places. And Lord Shiva resides in other places too. Even there's Lord Shiva, there's a replica of Kailas there. Did you know that? And that's called Kedarnath. Kedarnath is actually Lord Shiva's abode in the Himalayas. Kedarnath. And there's also Badrinath too in Braj. Badrinath, of course, generally, you know, when people want to go to Badrinath, they go to the Himalayas and they take a long trip and they have to walk up or Kedarnath, which is Lord Shiva's abode, they have to walk up the Himalayas. But all of the holy places that are anywhere within this universe exist in their original seed form in Braj. All the holy places. So you never have to leave Braj. You know, devotees, they want to go see this, want to go see that, climb the Himalayas or something like that. I guess it's exciting. Mountain climbing and everything like that. But if you stay in Braj, and that was Prabhupada's example, that we don't really, other than for preaching purposes, we don't see Prabhupada just going places outside of Braj and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri, the places of Lord Chaitanya, isn't it? Like when Prabhupada was young, he was always looking at the train schedules as far as when the trains were leaving for, Jagannath Puri. So he was always planning out when he would go. And finally, when he graduated from the university, he actually went there for the first time. This is a story. He went there for the first time. He was greeted by some friends or uncle or family members. And they fed him some food, and Prabhupada looked at it, and there was meat in it. Anyone remember that story? And Prabhupada said, there's meat in it. And they said, well, we've given you the best thing. Because they were thinking the best thing is meat. Even today in America, when you come across people from India, it's very hard to find a pure vegetarian. We were talking yesterday, some people that especially amongst many Bengalis, it's very hard to find someone who doesn't eat fish. Practically everybody eats fish. And if you say you're vegetarian, they say yes, because fish are water vegetables. You know, they move a little bit, but I've never seen a broccoli move. Maybe slow motion. So Prabhupada really concentrated on these places because the Vaishnava, the understanding is that all these places reside, all the other holy places reside. There's even a Triveni in Braj. Does anyone see the Triveni in Braj? No one's seen the Triveni in Braj. That's where Badrinath, if you climb all the way up Badrinath, there's actually big mountains on the western side of Braj. And you climb up these mountains in the top. Of course, in Kedarnath, you find a deity of Lord Shiva, self-manifested Shiva Linga on the top of the mountain. It's a very high mountain. It's not just like, I mean, it's not super high like Mount McKinley or, you know, the Mount Everest or anything like that. I mean, it's a few thousand feet high, probably about 2,000 or 3,000 feet high. So you climb up, and so in Badrinath, you climb up the mountain, and then you see where the Triveni is. I mean, where the three rivers meet, Triveni. So where the three rivers meet. Of course, it's all in meditation, actually, but it's there because that's the original manifestation of all the holy places in Braj. So a devotee doesn't, you know, really we don't have to leave Braj or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri except to preach Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's not that we just want to go see, you know, see all these things
And we have one devotee here. He just wanted to go traveling around, seeing all the deities everywhere. And I said, just go on Sankirtan. You're just looking for an excuse not to do service. Anyways, anyway, I won't mention who his name was. So, and then Lord Shiva also resides in Braj as different personalities. This is Chinchaharan Mahadev, which means the Mahadev who relieves you from chincha or anxiety. Chincha also means conceivable, but it also means anxiety. Like achincha means inconceivable, like a chincha beta 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 tattva. So chincha also means anxiety in a particular context. So chincha haran, that means he who steals away your anxiety. Like those of you who are in anxiety, which is probably the biggest disease in modern society, they can approach Lord Shiva to take away your anxiety. You don't have any more anxiety attacks. Actually, the best way to get free from anxiety is to just hear Krishna's pastimes. I've experienced that myself. You just, like before I go to sleep at night, I play the Ramayana or some pastime of Krishna, and it's very peaceful. All the anxiety goes away. The rest of the world might be falling apart. My body might be falling apart. People around me may be, just trying to kill me or something like that. But then you just enter into Krishna, then you become free from anxiety. Vaikuntha. You understand? Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha means being absorbed in Krishna's pastime. So Lord Shiva is like that. And then so there's Chinchaharan Mahadev, and then there's also the story where Lord Shiva wanted to see Krishna as a little baby. So he went to he went to Krishna's house and knocked on the door. Yashodamayi answered the door, and she just saw this guy, not once a guy, but she just saw this personality with a snake around his neck and covered with ashes, and she slammed the door and said, we don't need any today. just like I was at someone's house yesterday, and some sales lady came to the door. It's interesting. They still do door-to-door sales everywhere. I was thinking devotees should do door-to-door book distribution. Completely legal. Did you know that? You don't need a permit. So she was selling something like, whatever it was. It doesn't matter. And then he had to say very nicely, we're not interested. People have manners. They don't slam the door usually and say, get out of here, you stupid salesman. I do that. When someone calls on the phone, I say, this is a sales call? Yes. Like that. No, thank you. So Mother Yashoda, she saw this sage. I think it was a naked sage and everything like that. And there's a snake around his neck, and he came to the door. And she said, Hare Krishna. And he closed the door. And then Lord Shiva went back, and he was upset, and Krishna started crying. He wouldn't stop crying, and then that Mother Yashoda understood that she had offended the sage, and therefore Krishna was crying. So she went to the sage. She said, my dear sage, my dear naked sadhu, come back. So Krishna came. Krishna stopped crying when Lord Shiva came, and every day Lord Shiva would come and play with baby Krishna. It's nice, isn't it? So anyway, so Lord Shiva is definitely there in the Holy Dham, and there's nothing wrong with, just like we say, Sakshat Hari Kleina Pa, Sakshat Hari Pa. So it's not that if you just say Sakshat Hari, that means he's the same. But when you add the Twa, like we're chanting every morning in the Guru Rashika prayers, that means he's like, he's like, he's respected like. The Shastras say that the Guru is to be respected like the Supreme Personality of God. He's not the same. Sakshad would mean the same. You understand? Just like we say, the deity is Sakshad Brajendra Nandana. He is Brajendra Nandana. So we say, don't say about the Guru, he's Sakshad Hari. That would be, you don't know Sanskrit if you're saying that. Sakshat Hari Twa. You understand? The Sanskrit, he's light. He's worshiped light, the Supreme. There's light and then identity. You understand? If I say, you preach light, Prabhupada. That's one thing. You're going to say, oh, that's actually praise. But if I say, you are Prabhupada, that's pretty bad. You know, who would want to say you are? You are non-different. You are non-different. You are the same as Prabhupada absolutely? I don't think so. You know, then you get into this, what is that called, channeling? Where's the meaning? You know, when Prabhupada left, actually there was one devotee who was channeling Prabhupada. I don't know if he's channeling, he wasn't, but you know, it was just like, I won't mention it, one of my god brothers, he was channeling. You know what a channel like a medium does? And you start speaking, like with Shirley MacLaine and Rampa or something like that. So, when we say Twa, it means he's like the Supreme Personality of God. He's not the same. So you have to add that Twa, Sakshat Hari Twa. Twena. Do you understand? Little Sanskrit information. Twena Samasana. And all the Shastras say that. So anyway, so we respect Lord Shiva as we respect God or respect any great devotee, the Supreme Personality of God. And we can have a Guru Puja for Prabhupada, and we can have a Guru Puja for Lord Shiva, but we shouldn't confuse and think that Prabhupada or Lord Shiva has become or is Krishna. That's the real point. So, second point here is that the Asuras, they worship Lord Shiva for their own personal benefits. Why do they do that? Because they have uncontrolled senses. One of the qualities of the Asura is that Adanta Gopiya. Adanta means, he's not, Danta means tame. Adanta means untamed. Like, you know, usually in English you don't say he's an untamed lion. You'd say he's a wild lion. You understand? So usually you wouldn't use that same sort. It's untamed. Or your child is untamed. You say your child is wild. Uncontrolled. We would say uncontrolled, though. Yeah, uncontrolled. So uncontrolled. So Adanta means uncontrolled. Gopiya, not gopi. But gopiya means senses. Adanta gopiya vishatam tamishram. That one who has uncontrolled senses, then what is it? Vishatam, he enters tamishram into ignorance. And of course the verse is punat punashchar vichar vananam. And he does things that are completely against his self-interest. He does things that destroy him. And even though, what is it? Matirna Krishna, Paratos Vatobat, even though he may have good advice, you know, it doesn't help him at all. Just like I was hearing from the Ramayan yesterday, how this person, Maricha, he had actually seen the light, you know. He actually became a good guy. After he was a Rakshasa. He was. What happened is that he had two encounters with Lord Ram that sort of shocked him. One encounter was when he was trying to destroy the sacrifice of Vishwamitra Muni, and Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were about 16 years old at that time. They were defending this fire sacrifice because the Rakshasas were throwing blood and pus and saliva and everything into the fire sacrifice. So what Lord Ram did is he fired his arrow, and basically this Maricha, he flew like 800 miles away into the ocean. Like that. And then he had another encounter too. You know, he didn't learn his lesson the first time. I guess he didn't do three strikes and you're out. He did three strikes, but that wasn't his desire. So the second time, he was in the forest and he took the form of like one of these eight-legged beasts. It's Shavara or something like. Shavara means pig. So Anyway, he had taken the form of an eight-legged beast, and he was hanging around with all these other eight-legged beasts who were also Rakshasas, and they went to attack Lord Ram, and Lord Ram fired his arrow and killed the other Rakshasas who had taken the form of these beasts, and somehow or other he escaped. So he learned his lesson. You know, intelligent people, you know, he's not as intelligent as others who can learn by hearing, but he learned his lesson by doing. And so then he just decided to take sannyas. He became celibate. It's described in the Ramayana. He became celibate and was chanting and eating very little, chanting, you know, to Lord Shiva, but, you know, he had really had the fear of God there. Because every time he looked at a tree, he could see Ram behind it. I wish I had that. That benediction that every time I looked at something, I could see Ram. Ram, 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 everywhere. And so, and any time anyone even said, even if they were talking about someone's jewelry, like Ratna, Ratna means jewelry or jewel, he'd get nervous because the word began with an R. You understand? Ratna.
Don't say that.
You know, so anyway, so he was scared into religion. You know, the fear of God. That's better than nothing. So he became a rather pious Rakshasa. So then what happened is that, first of all, Ravan went to Maricha after he was told by a company what had happened, that Suparnaka was actually defiled in the forest by Lakshman, and he wanted to kidnap Sita, and he went to this Maricha, and he said to Maricha, Maricha, please help me. And Maricha said, whoever has given you the advice to do this, he is your enemy. And so Ravana, he first took the good advice, but then his senses became further agitated the second time when Suparnaka came to him. And she said, you should have this beautiful girl. She described Sita Devi. And she said, actually, I went there to try to get Sita Devi for you, which was a lie. She'd gone there because she wanted Ram. She wasn't interested in serving her brother. And said, how could you do this? And she even insulted him, you know, to get him even angrier. She said, you know, you're not worthy to be a king. A king is supposed to be this way, you know, compassionate, protecting his citizens. You just like to give up your kingdom, Ravana. You know, she was really sick. So Ravana, you know, gets all riled up, uncontrolled senses. He's worshiping Lord Shiva too. And he goes back to Maricha and he says, Maricha, that we're right, please do this. And Maricha gives him good advice again. And this good advice, what is it? Upadeshu Himurkanam Prakopayana Shantaya. You give a fool good advice, he becomes angry. I've experienced that too, so I've stopped giving advice to anyone. So then what happened is that that Ravana became angry at the advice. He says, look, you're not supposed to advise the king once he's made up his mind to do something before you can do it. So you must do this. And then he has some argument with Ravana. He says, no, this is going to destroy your whole dynasty. Every Rakshasa is going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's going to be the death. Anyone's connected with you, even if they're innocent, they're going to die. It's good advice. And Ravana said, He said, either you do what I say or I kill you. Now, you have a choice. If you do what I say, there's a chance that Ram won't kill you. You know, he may be merciful to you, or he may be able to run away. You know, take the form of a golden deer. And then, as Prabhupada said, Maricha decided, better to be killed. This is intelligence. Better to be killed by Ram than Ravan. Right? So, and then when he said this, it's interesting. He said this to Ravan, yes, I'll do it. And then Ravan said, good. You've become your old self again, you know. I love you. And then he embraced him. In fact, he kissed him. He says, he gave his uncle Maricha a hug. You're yourself again. Oh, you were in Maya before. And now you become to your senses. And then, so of course, then we know what happened. Never mind. So The point is the demons have uncontrolled senses, even if you give someone. And so that's what qualifies someone to be a demon. So if someone wears a devotee and they have a dhoti, not wears a devotee, wears a dhoti, or sorry, and they have uncontrolled senses, that's demoniac, because it's pravatinja, nirvatinja, jnana, vur, asura, as Krishna says in the Gita. The demons what? Don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. And neither cleanliness or good behavior, whatever, do they have. So that's the point. You know, we want to be devotee, that's the qualification of a devotee. You know what is to be done, and you do it. You do the right thing, regardless of what your mind is saying. But Ravana wasn't like that. And so Ravana ultimately caused the demise of the whole Rakshasa dynasty. Fortunately, not all the Rakshasas were killed. Vibhishan, the pious one, was able to take over the kingdom and save a lot of the Rakshasas. But the fighters were all killed. Practically all the fighters were killed. Monkeys were brought back to life. Okay, we have to end class. So any questions or comments about these? Yes. Maricha, yes. 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 No, we had a Rakshasa form. The first time, he was trying to defile Vishwamitra Muni's fire sacrifice. He was one of the demons. Maricha and Subahu. There were two demons in the air, and they were throwing pus and blood and everything like that, and urine, whatever, and stool on top of the sacrifice. And Subahu was killed by Ram with his arrow, but Maricha was sent 800 miles away, which is 80 yojana. Approximately 800 miles. They deal with yojanas in the Vedic literatures, which are about 8 to 10 miles. Okay. Jai. Shri Shri Radha Galokananda Ki Jai. Yeah, Radha Gokananda. Govindam Adi Purusham.
Sakhandriyati Timanti Pashanti Pan Tayanti Bami Jinan Jayanti Angana Jinayan Sadhu Kala Vigraha Sharad Guru.